Josh Ward at Ted Russell Ford right now. You can take advantage of the orange tag sale going on right now. It's time to celebrate. You made it to the holiday season, and you might be looking for a new vehicle in your driveway at some point in time. So it is time to shop at Ted Russell Ford. We're going to go to the phone lines where David Ubben is standing by on the Stanley Fencing Hotline. They're having just a little bit of a technical issue with Josh, but he'll join us here in just a second. But David Ubben from The Athletic joining the show today. David, are you staying positive and testing negative?
Yes, but I am positive that that is maybe my least favorite slogan of the whole year. By the way, hey, if Josh doesn't want to talk to me, he can, you know, he doesn't have to hide behind technical difficulties. It's fine. Either way.
Well, I didn't want to say he was about to unfollow you on Twitter too, but you know, we can hash all that out later.
He wouldn't be the first
David,
one.
I'm busy posting a quick subtweet about you and The Athletic, so I'll get to that. Part of it might be related to your pie takes, but we'll get to that at the end of the segment here before we wrap things up. David covers Tennessee, of course, for theathletic.com. And David, Tennessee is off again this week. Has anything stood out to you from what you heard from Jeremy Pruitt? The questions are probably repetitive to you, by the way, saying, well, it's another bye week. What can you work on? But what do you make of this week being a break with Florida coming up next week?
Well, I mean, I suppose Vanderbilt had to give him a good shot to crack the losing streak. I'm not sure Florida offers them that same opportunity, which is, you know, an unfortunate situation for them at this point. But, you know, I don't know that extra time to prepare is going to, you know, change the outcome of that game. But it's, you know, sort of Groundhog Day for Tennessee, right? Unexpected bye week. At this point, they're going to have played, what, 2 games in 6 weeks, and I haven't won a game since October 3rd, so they could have used Vandy this week. You know, it's sort of risky, I suppose. If you lose that, then all kinds of questions start coming out. But, you know, it's they could have used the win. And now you, too, have a sort of a uncomfortable question about what happens over Thanksgiving break, too.
How difficult is it for this coaching staff maybe to keep everybody focused and eye on the prize, bought in, whatever cliche you want to use, while following all the protocols, but also trying to implore that there's still some games left on this schedule that you could make some disruptions in? I mean, just how fine of a line are these guys walking right now?
Well, it's tough to know. You know, everybody sort of says the right things, and I think you watch these games, Tennessee, you know, outside of the second half against Kentucky, I don't think effort has been an issue for this team this year. They just haven't gotten the job done. Made some big mistakes, obviously. So, you know, it seems like the team is still invested. I think with that kind of thing, more than what people say, I think it matters a lot what you see on the field. And you know, I don't know if you could say that they clearly outplayed Auburn, but they were Auburn's equal at least. It's just they didn't, you know, play very well. Had a bust, some of the field goals, obviously the pick six. All of those things that contributed to that game playing out the way that it did. So, yeah, I mean, I think certainly it's a weird deal because there's simultaneously not that much to play, but Tennessee, you know, even at 3-7 could probably still go bowling this year, which is still a weird idea to get your head around. But, you know, it's an unorthodox season, and sort of the dynamics that play within that are still, you know, complicated and unprecedented too.
We're talking to David Ubben from The Athletic. David, you've written some interesting stuff over the last couple weeks regarding some of the numbers that back up what some of Tennessee's issues have been. And then on the defensive side, how surprised are you with some of the issues they've faced at times, especially third down defense not being able to get off the field, which has obviously been a big help to their opponents?
Yeah, we wrote about that at The Athletic today. You know, they're giving up 50% of their third down attempts. Tennessee, the first 2 years, what I think we would all agree were less talented defenses, were under 40%. And, you know, Saturday against Auburn, they give up 60%. Alabama in 2019 is the only other team that hit 60%, exactly that number, actually. So that was, you know, as bad a third down performance as we've seen Tennessee play literally ever. So it's crazy to see that and to, you know, there's not a lot of reasons that I could see for why they would regress. They've regressed in so many areas. You know, that's one of the things we pointed out, the quarterback rating is down significantly compared to the first 2 years. When you have
a better offensive line in front of him, a 3-year starter, and Jared Garantano playing in his second year in the system. There were all of these things that sort of added up to a better year, and yet they're worse. And I don't know, you know, what the reason for that is. I don't think anybody is really sure.
I thought Joe Rexroad made an interesting point on our show a couple days ago, and it's hard to tell if it's regression or underachieving, like you're pointing out, but could it also be because so much strain is on this defense with how inefficient the offense has been?
It's possible. I think that's definitely possible, but I think, you know, it's sort of all of these things kind of working in tandem. You know, why is the offense so bad? There shouldn't be a reason for that. You know, there's a lot of experience there. The only place they're replacing a lot of guys is at receiver, and the receivers have been okay, I suppose, this year. Jalen Hyatt's played well. Jeff Palmer's played pretty well. You know, they haven't gotten open maybe quite as much as, you know, Juwan Jennings and Marquez Calais played, but those guys have been able to make plays. And, you know, in terms of what's gone wrong with the offense, I don't know that the receivers would be near the top of my list in terms of what's the deal there. So, yeah, I mean, you may be right about that, but then the flip side of that is, why would the defense be facing so much pressure? You know, it doesn't really, none of it really makes sense. That's the rub of all this. And, you know, on top of it not really making sense, when you start losing games to Arkansas, who had as many, if not more, excuses than you did considering the program shutdown, and, you know, in terms of, well, still a rebuild, you know, you're running out of reasons why these things are acceptable. And when that happens, you know, questions about job security start coming up.
David Ubbett is with us from The Athletic. David, assuming there are at least three games remaining for Tennessee, do you have an idea how the quarterback position will be handled to close things out, starting, I guess, next week with the Florida game?
Well, I think that's asking a lot to throw Harrison Bailey out in a start against you know, the best team in the division. I wouldn't rule it out. I thought, you know, it made some sense to play him against Vanderbilt. I think just the case to stick with Garantano is becoming increasingly thin. But it didn't seem like Jeremy Pruitt was a guy that sounded, at least publicly, real excited about making a change of quarterback. I think it was still sort of a TBD situation. We haven't seen a lot out of Harrison Bailey. You know, he's really only made a couple, two or three throws that he needed to make that were, you know, difficult throws that weren't really checkdowns. He's kind of been put in some weird situations so far in his career. So we haven't seen much out of him, but you know what you have in Garantano, and it has not been good enough. And to sort of keep banging your head against that wall just doesn't really seem to make sense to me.
Do you keep banging your head against that wall, though, because you actually watch all of practice and you realize, maybe number two is not such a great option? I do think it's easy for us on the outside looking in that don't see a lot to kind of make these judgment calls, but these are the guys that are breaking it down every single day, and I do think sometimes we forget about that.
Yeah, I think it's possible, but I think, you know, how many more times can Garantano make some of these big mistakes and Jeremy Pruitt say, well, he knows he can't make that mistake. I believe he knows that, but the mistakes keep happening. And it's like, I don't know what, you know, he's right that he knows he can't, but it keeps on happening. And it obviously is influencing the outcome of some of these games. And, you know, at some point, whether a guy's ready or not, I wonder, you know, especially considering when you look at what they're asking the quarterback to do, he's not throwing the ball 50 times a game. They're not putting a ton on him. I think it's certainly reasonable to suggest that, you know, manage these games and do a limited amount of things is something that Harrison Bailey could probably offer. But it's, you know, we'll see. I think the rest of the season is going to be really interesting. But then, too, if you're trying to sell the idea that Tennessee's going to get better in the future, you know, showing people that you've got a piece at quarterback that can really be a guy that can build around, you know, that's one way to get some fans back on your side. But, you know, we'll see if that's the case over the next, three games.
David, I mentioned I wanted to ask you about this. Thanksgiving is tomorrow. I saw you in an exchange on Twitter weighing in on pies, which, of course, are a staple of the Thanksgiving holiday. If you could you explain or expound on your opinion of pies?
So the idea is quite simple, and that is that pie in general is good, but the delivery vehicle of a pie, the crust, all of these things, these are all purely aesthetic and add nothing to the experience. They're sort of to look pretty, on a table or be festive. But especially if you're talking about a fruit pie, the filling is going to be better in some sort of a cobbler or in some sort of a baked dish of some kind. The idea that you have to have the strict idea of a crust, when the crust to what you're eating is really, again, it's just a flawed vehicle for a great thing in terms of the pie filling.
So you think it can often be an inefficient use of the resources?
No question. No question. I mean, we see this all the time. Efficiency is the soul of any good meal, I think, and any good society, and it starts with pie.
I like that.
Like punting on the opposing team's 42-yard line.
The pie is the punt on fourth and short from plus territory of desserts. There's no question. Meanwhile, the cobbler is running play action even when the running game is not that great. It still works.
Yeah, keeping the opposing team's defensive linemen gassed along the way. Do you have any other strong Thanksgiving food thoughts before we let you get out of here, David?
Not a ton. It's going to be a weird year, I think, for all of us. But, it's a little taste of normalcy, I suppose. But we are cooking our own Thanksgiving dinner. I have never been sort of responsible for the bulk of a Thanksgiving dinner, so this is going to be we'll see how this goes.
All right, good luck. Start thawing your turkey. I hope you actually started yesterday, so there is
exactly.
That.
Exactly. I know how Harrison Bailey feels right now. It's the same thing, playing quarterback in the SEC, cooking a Thanksgiving dinner for the first time. Listen, 2020 has been full of new experiences for all of us.
Yeah, we're all trying to keep pace. We are polling, and I forgot this, but thumbs up or thumbs down to cranberry sauce? Where do you stand?
I have a big thumbs up. My wife is, like, insane about cranberry sauce. Like, makes her own every year. That's, like, this very fancy recipe, more than the canned stuff. But in general, the little tartness, if we're keeping it 100, turkey is a bland meat. So if you get some of that cranberry sauce in there and you get a little mix, that little tartness really brightens up the whole plate.
We are aligned, David. I'm going to delete this subtweet that I had planned to send out. Follow him on Twitter. @DavidUbbin is where you can find him, and go read his work. It's great. TheAthletic.com with Tennessee coverage and all other sports, all other teams as well. TheAthletic.com. Hey, David, happy Thanksgiving to you. We appreciate the time as always, and we will talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to both of you guys.
Thanks, David. David Ubbin joining us, Heather, on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.
Yeah, maybe we'll know more about this football team, although they will not have played a game by the time we talk to David Ubbin. Maybe something will leak out about Harrison Bailey versus JG or something.
Maybe. We'll come back here on Sports 180 with Heather Harrington. I'm Josh Ward. The show continues today at Ted Russell Ford Lincoln on Kingston Pike, one of their two locations. You can find them on Parkside Drive as well. News in the NFL with tomorrow's schedule. We'll tell you about that coming up next right here on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Covering Tennessee, the SEC, and everything else in between, it's Sports 180 with Josh and Heather.
This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. Heather, news in the NFL. You will not have the big primetime game tomorrow night in the AFC North. Steelers-Ravens postponed to Sunday. The Steelers players were tweeting out before the news came out, and now after, not too pleased.
Yeah, Juju Smith-Schuster saying, first the NFL takes our bye week from us because another team can't get their COVID issues straightened out, and now they take our primetime Thanksgiving game away from us. So I feel like the Steelers just feel a little maybe disrespected. They're doing everything the right way, and they feel maybe punished because the other teams are not holding up their end of the bargain.
Yep, and they already hit the Ravens anyway, so now they're going to be extra mad at them, assuming they play on Sunday. I still like the Steelers to win that game. So a little extra time for the Ravens to try to get ready as we get you ready for Thanksgiving tomorrow and all the other sports that are going on. College hoops starting up today and a big weekend coming up as we continue at Ted Russell Ford Lincoln, the Kingston Pike location. They're on Parkside Drive as well, online at tedrussellford.net. And we say hello to Andy White. Andy, good to see you again.
Hey, guys. Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for being here the day before. We appreciate y'all coming in.
Well, why don't we get the polling out of the way, Heather? What do you think? Andy, are you thumbs up or thumbs down on cranberry sauce?
I would thumbs down. I'm not even going to talk about it.
It's good to be here, but...
Will West answer from Andy. I like it.
Do you begrudgingly eat the cranberry sauce or do you avoid?
No,
you avoid.
I avoid it. No, yeah. I've always avoided it. Cranberry juice, anything that starts with cran, I'm out.
Okay, well, fair enough. Hey, you know what? It's you call the shots. You're welcome to handle it how you want to. It actually works in our favor, Heather, because if somebody declines cranberry sauce, that means extra's left over.
Extra.
Yeah, more for us. What about, are you out on craw? Because my boys, they love craisins, which are just dried cranberries that look like raisins. Are you out on those too?
I'm still out, yes.
Okay. All right.
Just not been a big cranberry fan ever.
What is the best side? Best side that you have?
All of them? No, you know, I heard you guys talking earlier, and I've been thinking a lot about green bean casserole.
Oh, man. Heather, everybody's ganging up on me this week on the green bean casserole.
It's because
I'm really not trying to hate on you. I swear I'm not.
I'm just not.
You're just weird. So.
You can get mac and cheese any day of the week. Next Tuesday, I'm going to buy Josh the biggest thing in mac and cheese, and he can enjoy that. But tomorrow, it's all about the green bean casserole.
Well, mac and cheese is a solid. I've always been partial to my mom's because she's a whole block of Velveeta.
There you go.
It's some real milk, and, you know, it's all good. It all kind of molds into everything else on your plate, makes everything better. So I don't even think Velveeta's really cheese.
By the way, Heather, I'm holding you to that offer for next Tuesday. Can't wait for the extra mac and cheese I have coming next week. How about this? They're going to hold you to it. You're showing us these deals you have here at Ted Russell Ford, Andy, and $7,000 off 2020 Ford Explorers, $10,000 up to $10,000 off 2020 Expeditions. We keep going down the list, but big time savings on new and pre-owned.
Yeah, and you know, everybody be looking that likes us on Facebook because we've got a big video coming out at 1 o'clock tomorrow about some extra savings on some different vehicles that we hadn't even talked about today. It's gonna be really big.
Very cool.
I just got finished watching that video to see how it all came together, and I had to go back and check some of our factory incentives and rebate money just to make sure it was correct, because it scared me to death when I saw it, but it's gonna be big.
And no matter what that deal actually is, everything comes with a lifetime warranty from Ted Russell Ford, so that still applies.
That is correct, and we're very, very happy to be able to offer that. That's a warranty that's ours. It's not, back in at other dealerships that I was at, we made that warranty. Actually, my brother and I, and we wanted to make sure that there was nothing in there that can confuse anybody. As long as you keep up with your regular scheduled maintenance, you're going to be covered. So it's not one of these. Well, you know, I've got a bad whatever it may be. Oh, well, that's not covered. You know, but this would have been covered if it would have broke. So it's take a look at everybody's lifetime warranty if they offer it. It's not something everybody offers, but get a copy of ours and set it down next to theirs, and you're going to find ours is going to be superior to any of the others out there.
All right. Love that. And by the way, today is a month away from Christmas. I love the stories that you always tell of you help somebody who's thinking, you know what would make a nice Christmas gift? Insert whatever vehicle that you're talking about here. But you've been a part of putting those bows on top, and you've taken them. You've gotten the key to be able to slide the vehicle into the garage. Uh-huh. Yeah, so it's about that time.
Yeah, and we did that last year too. So you know, we'll whatever we can do to make it more the easier it is for the customer. We'll take some time out of our Christmas Eve and deliver it to the house if we need to. So just keep that in mind for all you last-minute procrastinators. You can come in here and grab one real quick and give us your address, and we'll take it to your house. So you can be there when your spouse or significant other sees it for the first time, and it's always a joy to get to watch that part of it.
I will say,
if we're able to.
Yeah. As a woman who has been the beneficiary of some procrastinated last-minute gifts, there is an anger factor that comes with that, like, oh, okay, I know what you were doing yesterday. You just went to the first store and got the first thing.
It's got the Walgreens tag on it.
Yeah, that will all be excused if a brand-new Ford Explorer shows up in your driveway, Expedition, one of those Lincolns from the Lincoln lineup. I mean, there is going to be no animosity whatsoever for last-minute cars that drive up in the driveway.
I hope he's listening.
Yeah, Glenn, it's simple. You get $7,000 off that 2020 Explorer, so come on down. Andy can put the bow on it. He'll figure out how to sneak it in, and Heather won't know that it's there until Christmas Day.
You know, I just got a text from a good friend of mine that said, add some vodka to the cranberries.
There you go.
I'm still out.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Man, still out.
I'm not a fan of any type of clear liquor, so...
All right, Heather, more Western Sun and cranberry for you.
Yeah, I will partake of that. It goes great with family and holidays, so there you go. You have that. But what you guys are also offering that is different than normal, along with a lifetime warranty, maintenance. You guys are giving a few complimentary maintenance things with the new purchase.
Yeah, this place has been here for a long, long time. This Kingston Pike location has been here for over 45 years. And if in the past, they fell short or anywhere, I think you would be absolutely blown away by the level of service you can get. And for us to throw in some complimentary service is well worth your while, because the guys, Barry and Ted and all the guys in the service department and Randy in the parts department, as well as down at Parkside with Calvin and you've got everybody in Kelly. I almost forgot Kelly, my service manager down there, but they really take it to the next level as far as customer service. The previous dealership that I was at was really big on customer service, and we took that and placed it here as soon as we came in 5 years ago. So, hopefully you'll be blown away by the service, and if you're not, come find me. I'll make sure you are.
Andy White will take care of you. Andy, before we let you go, you mentioned two locations for Ted Russell Ford Lincoln, Kingston Pike, Parkside Drive, and online, tedrussellford.net. You guys were set up and helping with remote test drives and deliveries, all that stuff, before COVID hit, so you were prepared to help people in that way. But it is about helping customer, however. So tedrussellford.net online.
Yeah, and a lot of people have mentioned that they would love to do that, but they still came in here because they didn't want to inconvenience anybody. This is what we do. It doesn't inconvenience us. It gives us an opportunity, and we appreciate that. So if you've ever thought that way for any reason, please give us a call, set that up, get an appointment online, talk to one of our representatives online. There's a million different ways you can get to us. And just to give us the opportunity is what we would really, really appreciate, because we're going to go above and beyond and make it an awesome transaction.
So you can go online, tedrussellford.net. They have phone numbers there at the top of the page, so it's easy if you want to call, ask any questions, and go like them on Facebook. Video's coming, you say, tomorrow, you think, or in the next couple days,
Video.
So be paying attention as Andy looked into it. Those savings are for real, so you can take advantage. So get ready, tedrussellford.net. Like them on Facebook as well, Kingston Pike and Parkside Drive. Andy, we appreciate you as always. Thanks for your support of the show and the station. Means a lot. And we're on hold this week on the Score Ford, but still several opportunities remaining to win a Ford F-150.
Yes.
So be listening.
Yeah, it did. And that's been such a fun I don't know if it was 2 years ago or last year that we were within a point. And if the opposing team would have went for two and got the two-point conversion, the guy, or I can't remember if it was a man or woman, would have won the truck. So I didn't know I could get any more interested in a UT football game, but it very much puts excitement figure, because we've paid for these policies for the last, I don't know how long we've done this now, 3, maybe 4 years, somewhere around there, and we've yet to be able to give away a truck. That just having those policies and being able to do that would be a lot of fun if we could actually give a truck away. So I'm actually pulling for people to win.
Maybe an upset win from a bold caller with the Florida game next week, be listening for your chance to score a Ford from Ted Russell Ford. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, Andy. We appreciate you as always.
Same to you guys, and happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there. And enjoy yourselves. It's been a kind of a crazy year, but everybody's got an opportunity to do their best to enjoy themselves. And it may be over a Zoom call, or it may be over FaceTime, or it may be a phone call. But still be thankful. It's part of the name of the holiday we're celebrating. So, our wonderful nation and everything that's going on around us, we're still extremely blessed people.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Andy White with us here at Ted Russell Ford Lincoln. We're here for another 90 minutes on Sports 180. John Wilkerson is going to join us for the second half of this hour. Still a lot to get to in the next 90 minutes as we continue on 99.1, the Sports Animal. We're back on Sports 180. Thank you for being with us as the show continues here at Ted Russell Ford Lincoln Keystone Pike. Today with Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward, and we are pleased to welcome to the show John Wilkerson, who will join us for the rest of this hour. Normally on Thursdays, we'll be off tomorrow, and Sports Talk will take over at 3 o'clock this afternoon. John, good afternoon. How are you?
Doing well. Hope everybody is set for a little rain that's supposed to blow through the area, but hope everything's pointing towards a great Thanksgiving for everybody.
Same here. John, with the reaction from the Pittsburgh Steelers players, maybe not all of them, but some of them online, they're not happy that the Steelers-Ravens game has been postponed from tomorrow night. Now, they also had the issue with the Titans earlier, so I'm sure they're largely frustrated. But I would like to commend so many of us that we have still found ways to get super upset about scheduling changes in sports, even though when sports came back, we were just so thankful to have them, period.
Well, again, it's just, they're not used to it. This hasn't happened to them before. I mean, you're exactly right. This is just beyond ridiculous. I understand it's frustrating, and you also want to strike while the iron's hot. Steelers have, after they survived that scare at Dallas, they have really done a great job taking care of their business. And so here they are with a chance to finish off a season sweep of the Ravens and perhaps even wrap up the division. I don't think it would be so mathematically, but goodness gracious, for all intents and purposes, that would be in the rearview mirror. So you miss out on an opportunity to strike while the iron's hot. But at this point, you just have to know that you got to roll with the flow.
Yeah, I can't hardly get mad at the Steelers. I mean, when Juju Smith-Schuster is tweeting out, like, okay, so we've had our bye week adjusted, not because of us. Now we've had this game in prime time taken off the table, not because of us. That's a lot of frustration, especially when you're 10-0 and you've got a lot riding on these games at this point.
You sure do, and I don't think there's any question that it has to be frustrating. But also, I mean, all you can do is what's in front of you. All you can do is take care of that. And, well, I mean, I just don't know what the option would be. I mean, would they rather them force the Ravens to go out there and play and not be necessarily 100% secure that you couldn't come away with something yourself? I mean, it's not as though they've just done this haphazardly and without merit. That's why I do think, sure, share your frustration, hate that we don't get to play, but, I mean, everything is being done with not just an ounce of prevention. It's more like a pound.
Yeah, should family members be offended that they're so upset that they now have to spend the day at home? Is that what we should take from this?
I think that's what it is. We had plans. All we had to do was turn on the television at night. We were going to be free of you. So now we got to come up with something. We have to include you.
Yeah.
Go for Yahtzee. Yeah. Play some Yahtzee, yeah. Everybody.
How about Jenga? Well,
John, on the field, the Ravens are coming off that loss to the Titans, which was a tough loss for the Ravens. It was an important one for the Titans, and now they can regain sole possession of the AFC South lead with a win against the Colts, which will not be easy. The Colts are coming off a nice win against the Packers this past weekend. But what do you think of this rematch from just a few weeks ago up in Indy on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, it is a big opportunity for the Titans. And to think, I mean, this is where we are. The Titans went from being in first place, lost to the Colts, the weekend progressed the way it did. They dropped down to ninth in the AFC playoff standing. So they were not one, but two teams they had to climb over to get back into just the seventh seed as the playoff field stands right now. And now, since then, you get the much-needed win, the incredible rally to force overtime. You get the win in overtime, and now you can go right back to the top spot. So they could have gone from first in the South to ninth in the overall AFC, back to first in the South, in about 14 days.
That is wild, but the fact that Derrick Henry seems to be like kicking it into his second gear, AJ Brown just rocking and rolling, are they starting to maybe peak at the right time, or maybe still a little too early?
No, I mean, who knows, too early this season. But I do think that they found something, and they've also had to deal with their share of adjustments. I mean, you know, they signed Beasley as a free agent. That didn't work out, and so they released him. Clowney was also a one-year deal. He's now on the IR and wasn't available, but it's not as though he was contributing a great amount. And you also lost Taylor Lewan for the season, mid-season, when he tore his ACL. So they've had to make some adjustments and to work around some things, but I think they're doing it, and I think they're doing it well. And I mean, there are peaks and valleys to every season. It's just that for the Steelers, it has yet to result in a loss. But I think the Titans are right where they need to be. And yeah, you don't want to peak too soon, because you want your best football to be right there at the end, like they were last year, where you go to Houston, you get that win, and then you just start your trip where you didn't lose until Kansas City.
Hey, John, this may be difficult to answer because we don't know who the players are specifically. We don't know how many. But Jeremy Pruitt did say earlier today that some players have to be in quarantine because of a positive test with the program Sunday and some contact tracing. Could it have been a blessing maybe for Tennessee to have the game move? Maybe that was a factor behind the scenes. I don't know the answer there. But any thoughts there with Vanderbilt, which was going to be a really important game for Tennessee to win, now being pushed back at least a couple of weeks?
Yeah, it could very well be, because you never know when you're going to get news like this. And it's amazing how quickly things can change. I mean, just looking back to this past weekend, and Dabo Swinney's not about to let it go, the fact that you have Clemson arriving in Tallahassee, and then all of a sudden that they're not able to play. And of course, Dabo is continuing to comment, saying, well, they're ducking us. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. If we're saying we want to reschedule the game, that doesn't mean we're afraid to play you. It really has been something to watch. I just wonder exactly what the non sequitur will be the next time he does reference Florida State. It might be, today went to the grocery store, picked up some eggs, some milk, and man, I can't believe the Noles are chickens.
I like that.
Yeah, so I was watching tape of New Orleans, who had Taysom Hill start over former Florida State quarterback Jameis Winston this past weekend. Now, that was quite a game, something like that.
Yeah, exactly. No doubt about that, because you know it's coming. It's just, but yeah. So, I mean, but it just shows you that everything can turn in an instant. I mean, for instance, just look at Tennessee basketball. Not only do you lose the Volunteer Classic this week, but you lose the two games next week, and who knows what they'll be able to either reschedule or add to the schedule to get the ball rolling. Because I think we're in for a much bumpier ride when it comes to basketball than football. Simply for the fact that you can lose 25, 26 guys in football and still be able to play, as we saw Mississippi State go to take on Georgia with less than 50 that were available in terms of scholarship guys. Basketball, boy, you can be done in a heartbeat, as we've seen.
No doubt. We have John Wilkerson with us here on Sports 180. We're going to come back for another segment, college football playoff ranking reaction. We'll get to that, a football look ahead over the next few days. When we come back with Sports 180 today at Ted Russell Ford Lincoln, we're at the Kingston Pike location. You can find Ted Russell Ford on Parkside Drive. You can find him online, tedrussellford.net. We'll be with you until 3 o'clock on Sports 180 on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
From the Budweiser studios of the Sports Animal. We are 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Back on Sports 180, thank you for being with us. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. Another segment with John Wilkerson, who will be a part of Sports Talk coming up at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And, John, we had some updated college football rankings last night as Sports 180, by the way, continues here at the Kingston Pike location of Ted Russell Ford Lincoln. Find him online, tedrussellford.net. The top four in the playoff rankings right now, John: Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson with one loss, and then Ohio State. Clemson has played twice as many games as Ohio State. Then you have Texas A&M, Florida, Cincinnati, and Northwestern. Georgia at number 9, BYU at 9-0 is number 14. Does anything stand out to you with those playoff rankings coming out last night?
Yeah, I was looking at BYU, and I still think that even though they don't have a a list of world beaters, you know, and elite programs that they've played. I really am surprised that they are as far down the list as they are. I don't think they should be top eight, but I do think they should be top 10. They've played 9 games. They've won them all, and so many have just been so one-sided. Again, strength of schedule is not going to even lift an eyebrow, let alone impress you, but still, they've found a way to play 9 games at this stage of the season, and I thought they were really undervalued. Now, I will say this. I don't for the life of me understand how Texas A&M is number 5. I mean, this is a program that hasn't been available for a couple of weeks. So they have been good. They have the head-to-head over Florida. Their only loss is Alabama, but it was a lopsided loss. So I think A&M right now is a little overvalued at 5. Florida, I could hang with them actually being 5, even though they have the head-to-head loss to Texas A&M. So, and then Northwestern, I think it's pretty cool there, the first team in the Big Ten to get to 5-0. So it's only going to be dramatic down the stretch because of who gets to play their games, what teams get to play how many games, and exactly what the selection committee values most, because as you were just highlighting right there, there is going to be a discrepancy in the number of games played at some way, shape, or form.
Based on what we know from the first poll, are there any teams you would just cross off to say, I don't know if they can make up this much ground with all the other caveats that you just laid out to the end of the season that there will be?
Yeah, I just think that now we know, history tells us, somebody in the top 4 is not going to make it. Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, Ohio State. Somebody in the top 4 has failed to make the college football playoff when they've done this. Granted, this is 2020, so maybe all 4 will just laugh at everyone else and say, we knew it was us all along. But you would just think at some point that's going to happen. The question is, who jumps up there? Oklahoma with 2 losses. Normally, the Sooners start outside the top 4, and they're the team that crashes the party. I don't think they can get there necessarily with 2 losses. I think 1 loss, they're A-OK and still in the running. But even though they are playing awfully good football and their best football right now, I think it's going to be awfully tough for Oklahoma to make this year's Final Four.
Yeah, I think you're right. It could be fitting in 2020 that this just becomes absolute madness behind maybe the top 2 or 3 teams. But you know, even like Ohio State, should we absolutely rule out Ohio State losing in a Big Ten title game? I don't think they will, but the Indiana game said it could happen to me at least. So what happens in the Pac-12? I mean, Oregon's played, what, 3 games? So I don't know how to project with so many teams. My guess is that we could still be in for a wild ride to close things out and a lot of shouting, which will make it fun here for college football.
Well, that's the great thing. So many people will say, oh, yeah, I can see that. Be understanding, very patient through the whole process, and not sure. Feel that there's a need to overreact. So I just think that everyone will behave like adults.
Respectful back and forths on Facebook, Heather, is what I most anticipate.
I like that. We'll put it in the Thanksgiving wishes category. So there's that. I'll say a prayer for you tomorrow around the dinner table. You know, we always talk about, like, in the NFL conversation, the Kansas City Chiefs are probably just going to dominate and run away with this thing, blah, blah, blah. Does that same conversation apply to Alabama this year? I know we're not talking a ton about them, but what that offense is, what their defense is, but mainly that offense. Are we just looking at a foregone conclusion of Alabama hoisting a trophy at the end of the playoff?
I think they're favorites for sure, but I also think that, I mean, Clemson with Trevor Lawrence, they didn't have him against Notre Dame. My guess is, I mean, the Irish still have to prove themselves. And so even though they are playing as a part of the ACC this year, and they do have that win over Clemson, I think that full strength is what is going to be what validates their presence. I think they have to win a semifinal game in order to say, yes, they belong. Because we haven't, I mean, and they've made it to a championship game, so there's not to say that can't happen. But I just think Ohio State has a team that can do it. Clemson has a team that can do it. But I don't think there's any question that Alabama right now appears to be the strongest team.
Hey, John, before you hop off, and we'll check in with you again before Sports Talk at 3, we don't have the Steelers-Ravens game tomorrow. That is postponed. We get Lions-Texans and Cowboys-Washington. How fired up for you for that second game of the day, Dallas and Washington? The winner will jump to 4-7. And have a strong position in trying to win the NFC East, which is currently led by the 3-6-1 Philadelphia Eagles.
I think that that those folks that have planned an afternoon or even late afternoon Thanksgiving meal will be dealing with three turkeys in their house. One on the table, two on the television.
Well, now, guys, I was standing up for the NFC East yesterday, or at least the Dallas Cowboys. If they do end up winning, there will be, it won't mean a whole hill of beans because they'll probably be knocked out in the first round. But to survive a crappy season where you lost your quarterback and so many other key personnel, a division title, it shouldn't be maybe super celebrated, but it should be noted.
Well, the NFL notes it, and they would get to host a playoff game, which still blows my mind.
Yeah.
The great thing is the four NFC East teams total 12 victories now, which is two more than the Pittsburgh Steelers. So they've got that going for them.
Tampa Bay.
Four teams are better than the Steelers when it comes to total wins. Obviously, the Steelers have them beat way, way down the road when it comes to losses.
Tampa's really wanting that first round matchup. Tom Brady's like, I'll go on the road. You're giving me Dallas in the first round? Like, okay, sure. The Eagles? Let's do it.
What a sad moment that was in Sports 180 history. You demanding that the NFC East champion be noted.
It should be. Especially if it's the Cowboys. If it's Carson Wentz and those guys. I mean, what has happened to Carson Wentz? Make
it
Carson Wentz great again.
Noted.
Yeah. What is going on there? What is Wentz's excuse?
He doesn't have much.
Good question.
That line could be better. Yeah, it could be better. John, I apologize on behalf of Heather that this is how the segment
ends. Well, see, I can fully understand.
I'm a fan.
Not everybody's able to win six games in an NFL season. So
not everyone.
If indeed someone gets to that level in the NFC East, it should indeed be noted.
Yes. Thank you, John, even though your snark came through loud
noted.
And clear in my headphones.
Hey, John, we appreciate the time as always. We will check in with you an hour from now. We'll hit a power poll and then sports talk at 3 o'clock. Thanks for the time. We'll talk to you before 3.
Always enjoy it, and I look forward to finding out the power poll topic at about, 2:54.
You know what, John? You're heard loud and clear, and that's very much deserved, so I don't have a comeback for you.
We'll talk to you later. Sure to appreciate it.
We will. John Wilkerson, he's got jokes. We'll come back with another hour of Sports 180 to go. Today, this is no joke. Big-time savings are available for you at Ted Russell Ford Lincoln, the Kingston Pike location, Parkside Drive, and online, tedrussellford.net. You're listening to 99.1, the Sports Animal.